Y'all look so much better up here. All right, you can actually be seen. You know, when you're sitting on those back rows, we can't see your faces. Not because of the distance, although that's a problem for some people. But the glare that comes through those windows back there, y'all got the prime seats because we can't tell whether you're awake, asleep, if you're drooling or what because of the bright light that's coming through the back. So when you're this close, most of you look a whole lot better. We are resuming tonight our program that we're calling Soldiers of Christ. And this is a program that is designed, as the screen says, and as we have had as a part of our logo from the beginning, designed to help all of us to sharpen our swords, to equip us to serve, and to help us to march to heaven together. Now, if that's appealing to you, then I hope that you'll keep coming on Sunday nights. If that's not appealing to you, then I hope you'll come by tomorrow and let's study the Bible together whenever you have time to get here tomorrow morning or afternoon. Because I hope that's appealing to all of us, that we are trying to sharpen our swords. Is there a need for us to know the Word of God today? Amen. Yes or no? Yeah, absolutely. Is there a need for us to equip ourselves to serve? Absolutely. Where is that going to happen? Where are we going to find the equipment that we need to serve? All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, complete, whatever word you've got in your translation, thoroughly equipped is what the New King James says unto every good work. Where are we going to get our equipment? From the Word of God. What's the purpose of this Soldiers of Christ? There's a lot of purposes, but let me hone it down because I want to get into our study. But this is just a way of review for those who may not have been here. I know several are new. Where'd Robert go? I saw Robert. He was serving on the table. Robert hasn't been here. Several of you are new since we started this. We have some folks visiting tonight. What are we trying to accomplish with our Soldiers of Christ program? Put it in a nutshell. We are trying through mutual study. That means we're all doing it together. And mutual participation, that means we're all doing it together. We're all studying together. We're studying the same thing. We're studying the same material. We are participating in our Sunday nights. We're participating in the program. We're participating in some of the quizzes. We're trying to encourage each other to greater faith, to greater knowledge, to greater love for the Word. Good, I was hoping I didn't put an L there. Greater love for the Word and to greater spiritual heights in our service to God. Is that appealing? Do you need greater faith? Do I need greater faith? Where does that come from? Greater knowledge? Do we need to have a greater love for the Word of God? Do we need to achieve greater heights in our service to God? That's what we're trying to do. And that's the design of all of our study, is to get all of us to build our faith, to increase our knowledge, even if it's of facts, trivial, you might think, facts in the Bible. If I increase my knowledge, it's going to increase my faith. Because where does faith come from? Hearing the Word of God. Which part of the Word of God? Does Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the red words of God? What words of God? All of them. So if I study all the words of God, is it going to help build my knowledge? Yes. It's going to help build my faith. The design of the program is this. We're trying to study through the Bible. Guess what? We spent 5 months. You know how far we got? 2 books. We're on a speed record here, okay? We studied for 5 months and we got through 2 books. We're going to spend August, September, October, and part of November, so a little finger. 3.5 months. And we're going to study 3 books in 3.5 months, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Our goal by the time we take our end of the year break is to be through the books of Moses. So we're trying to study through the Bible, dividing it into sections, the books of Moses, the books of history, and so forth, that you hopefully know the divisions of the Bible, and we'll talk about those in just a second. And what we're doing is we're looking at each book, one by one, obviously, and through the help of some study aids, we are looking at key facts in these books. We're looking at key chapters in these books. We're trying to learn them. We're trying to learn key locations in these books. And we have memory verses in these books. Why do we have memory verses? Is that to make us feel dumb? That's the end result, but that's not why we're doing it. be ready to give an answer. Is that a good reason to have memory verses? So that we can be ready to give an answer? What'd you say? Jesus did it. Did Jesus have memory verses? Apparently Mary gave Jesus some memory verses. Did he know verses? Could he quote them? Any reason we should not have the ability to quote key passages and know where to find them and to know what they say? There are some logistical, mechanical kind of things to what we're doing. We do have what we are calling, since this is called the Soldiers of Christ, we do have our field manuals. And some of them are of a color that you would not necessarily take out into the field. But for those of you who are new and have not been here in the first part of this, if you do not have a field manual, write your name on a card and give it to me afterwards. We will not necessarily be using the field manuals tonight, but we do on Sunday nights use them, so bring them with you. Inside the field manual are the study cards that help us to have this mutual study and this mutual participation. Those first three cards that we gave in January were called Overview of the Bible, where we just looked at some basic facts and overview of the Bible. Those were the white cards. Then we went to the blue cards, and we had three cards that were the books of Moses, Genesis and Exodus. And on those cards were the key facts, the key chapters, key locations, and the memory verses for us in a very handy size, hopefully, to take with us, to keep with us, to study it, to help us to try to mutually build our faith, build our knowledge, build our love for the Word of God. So we've been using field manuals. These cards, I said there's three cards of each. They're divided up into different levels. There's the prophet level, which has some of the easier, more basic entry level. These are the things that we really need to know. We have that prophet level. Then there's a level up from that has a little bit more in it. We call that our priest level. And then there's something, the king level has even more in it. The design is hopefully for all of us to learn the things that are on these cards. Not all of these things are going to be on the final test. Of course, I say that with confidence. I don't know. Maybe all of these things will be on the final test. Maybe God's going to say, okay, you want into heaven? Who turned into a pillar of salt? About 10 of you are going to heaven. Rest of you better learn that answer if you want to make sure you get in. I'm a little scared there. Maybe we need to back up. But I don't know if that's going to be on the final test or not. But does that hurt to know? No. Hope. Does it hurt you? Are you hurting because you know that? That doesn't hurt, right? No. It doesn't hurt to know that. We're trying to learn it. And so we've divided these up into different levels. And when you get a field manual, if you don't have one, you'll know what that's all about. We have had quizzes, both on our website, where you can go and take them online. If you don't have access to that, there are quizzes out in the Bible study corner. What's the purpose of the quizzes? The what? To get a dog tag. That's one of the purposes. I thought you said to get a heart attack. That's why I asked you to repeat what you said. I thought, well, that's if we're creating heart attacks, maybe we shouldn't. But what's the purpose of the quizzes? See if we know what we're studying. Is the purpose of it to hold people up and say, looky here, look who knows all of this about the Bible? The purpose is not to hold people up. The purpose is for us to learn and for us to see how we are learning. What's the best way in school for students to learn? Nicole, what's the best way for them to learn? If you don't give them a test, will they learn? How many of you? Who was that? Allison? Yeah, but you're the exception to the rule. Allison is the exception to every teacher's rule, okay? She's the bright one in the class who studies it to know it. The rest of us, what did we do? We crammed for the test, to learn it for the test, and then after the test, didn't have a clue, right? If we had the test given the second day, we wouldn't have had a clue. Why do we have quizzes? One, as June says, is so that we can get dog tags. Do I have dog tags up here? That's part of Medal of Honor Sunday. We do have dog tags that we have since we are soldiers. We have dog tags. Is that the next slide? Let's see what's that. Yeah, see that? You can have a tog. You can have a dog tag that has my name on it if you want one. Or you can have your own. Hopefully all of you who have been here since January have these with your name on it. But in addition to having one with your name on it for the overview of the Bible, for those who completed those quizzes, you have received the Ring of the Prophets, the Ring of the Priests, the Ring of the Kings. And that's just an opportunity for us to see how much we know, to see how we are learning these things. And it's an opportunity for us to wear our dog tags on Sunday nights and for Medal of Honor Sundays, not to be in some way braggadocious about how much we've learned. Is it encouraging for you to see a 10, 11, 12-year-old wearing dog tags that have colors around them? Is that encouraging or not? For those of you who are older than 10, 11, or 12, is it in any way motivational for you to see a 10, 11, or 12-year-old with dog tags that have colors around it? Is it motivational? What about a 6-year-old who has them? What about a 7-year-old who has them? How about a 15-year-old who has it? If your 15-year-old son has a dog tag with colors around it, is that motivational for you to get a dog tag? That's the design of it. Greg, when these young people come to you with all of the right answers and they're getting dog tags, is that motivational for you to say, all of these kids are coming to me with the answers. Maybe as an elder, I need to say, yeah, I know these things too, you know, so that you're not always, what's the question? Oh, let me see, is that the right answer? Because I don't know the answers. Let me see, what answer did you give? But is that motivational for Greg? Is it motivational for others to look at Greg and say, hey, Greg's got the dog tags, maybe I should do that too? That's the purpose. And so for each of these, there are the different rings that go around, and this was the last set that we had the end of our last period with Genesis, Exodus, and the new ones for Leviticus through Deuteronomy are going to look just like this, except one difference. This is going to say Leviticus through Deuteronomy. It's also going to be blue. When we get to the books of history, the color changes. It won't be blue anymore. You know what color it'll be? Green. How'd you know that? Because the questions that we have out in the lobby on Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and 1 Samuel, what's the color of the questions out there? Green. It's all color coordinated. All right? We are very stylish around here. Since Lindsay's coming to the office, we have everything coordinated. And everything's gelling. So it's all color coordinated. So books of Moses are all going to be green so that we can see where we're going. Your cards, when you get them for your field manuals, will all be books of Moses. They will all be green. Where do I need to put the Bible? In our head? That'd be a good place to put it. Where do I need to put the Bible? If you've got a field manual, this is on the back. This is on the back of this cover card. Where do I need to put the Bible? Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, 11. What does the Bible do for me? If I'll actually study the Bible, what will it do for me? Psalm 119, 105. What does it say? Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, 105. Why do I need to study it? Why do I need to study the Bible? 2 Timothy 2, 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. Yeah, that too. Okay. Where do I need it? What does it do for me? Why do I need to study it? When we were going through our overview of the Bible, this was the fun question, wasn't it? How many of you, when you were looking at your king card, did not like this question? On the king card, Clayton, didn't like this question, did you? Why? We just got 15 answers. You like them when they have one answer. Oh, you don't like them when they have one answer. This is sad. Okay. It has 15 answers. But if you know the outline of the Bible, would that help you to know where to find things in the Bible? Would that help you to know the progression and the flow of how things happen in the Bible? How many, to put a number with it, how many Bible stories do you know? Do you know 10 Bible stories? Do you know 20 Bible stories? Do you know 25 Bible stories? Is it possible you know 50 Bible stories? Is it possible you have heard? I'll change the word from know to heard. Is it possible you have heard 100 Bible stories? Where do they all fit? Here's a book from Genesis to Revelation. Where do they fit? If I went looking for the story of Moses striking the rock the first time, went looking for Moses striking the rock, where would I go? I've got over 1,000 chapters to search. I've got over, depending on what kind of Bible you have, I've got over 1,000 pages. That's going to take you a long time to flip, isn't it? Looking for the first time that Moses struck the rock. How can I learn that? What'd you say, Chad? Oh, you could look in the books that he wrote. That might be a place to start, so I can start to narrow my scope. Would it help to have some kind of an outline and understanding of the Bible? Do you all know the 15 points of the Bible outline? What's number one in creation? How do you know that? Because you took the quiz. So number one is creation. Can you all see that? Good. I hope so. I know you can't. Okay, so creation. Point number one. What's point number two in the outline of the Bible? The flood. How many years was it from creation to the flood? Hey, Shay, you can read this, can't you? At least one person can read this. 1,656 years from the creation to the flood. How do we know that? What verse tells us that? You got to count it up. You got to go through the genealogies from Genesis 1 all the way through to the flood to figure out. And AC, by the way, is my abbreviation because it won't fit here. After creation. So there's 1,656 years just in that first few pages of your Bible. You think about how many years the world has been in existence. And 1,600 of those years are just in those first few chapters of the Bible. What's number three in the outline of the Bible? Patriarchs. Who were the patriarchs? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Who else is called a patriarch? David. Who else? 12 sons of Jacob. All right, what's number four? Outline of the Bible. Egyptian bondage. I don't know if this is a good place to put it on this card or not. The book of Genesis. How many chapters are in the book of Genesis? 50 chapters. The first book of the Bible. You know why it took us so long to cover? It took us 5 months to cover the first two books. By the way, it could have taken us 5 years to cover the first two books because they're just so full. That one book, the very first book of your Bible, covers 2,500 years. That's a long time. That's a long time. Almost, not quite, but almost, depending on how many years you figure the world's been around, almost half the number of years the world's been around are recorded in the first book of the Bible. So when you read the book of Genesis, you've covered 2,500 years. Well, what happens after 2,500 years? You get to the book of Exodus. What does Exodus chapter 1 and verse 8 say about God's people? There arose a king in Egypt who knew not Joseph. And he didn't know Joseph, and so God's people become slaves. What's number 5 on the outline of the Bible? The Exodus. The Exodus out of what? Egypt. Exodus is not just a book in the Bible. Did you know that? What do you read about in the book of Exodus? The Exodus. What do you read about in the book of Genesis? The beginning. The beginning. What does the word Genesis mean? beginning. You read about the beginnings, 2,500 years of them. What do you read about in the book of Exodus? You read about God's people, just as Moses recounted in that passage that Kevin read from Deuteronomy chapter 6. You read about God taking his people who start off in Egypt. They start off in Egypt as slaves. You read about God taking them out of slavery. He brought them out in order that he might bring them into the promised land. All right. We're not going to put number 6 up here because we haven't got to it yet. But just for fun, what's number 6 on the outline of the Bible? Conquest of Canaan. Y'all don't sound too confident here. What's number 7 on what's? Thank you, Daniel. Now that it's on the screen and you can read it, that was very confident that that's what it was. What's number 7 on the outline of the Bible? The Judges. It's number 8. What happens after the book of Judges? The United Kingdom. Then the divided kingdom. After the kingdom is divided, what happens? Judah was alone. Northern kingdom is taken into captivity. Judah alone remains. But then what happens? Judah is taken into captivity as well. What happens after 70 years of captivity? The restoration. They're restored unto the promised land. So you've got 12. The first 12 are the Old Testament. I have seen that. Some people have put that on the face of a clock to try to learn it and see that there's a number in the Old Testament that corresponds to every number on the face of a clock. I don't know what's helpful for you to learn it, but that's easy to learn if we'll spend some time with it. That we can see the whole picture of the Old Testament in these 12 points. What's number 13? The time between the time between the Testaments, the 400 silent years that we have there, and then there's 2 points that we give for the New Testament. What are they? Christ and the church. There's your outline of the Bible. And if we will learn this outline of the Bible, then we will learn how to find things in the Bible. We will learn where things fit in the Bible. We will learn God's plan to redeem man, his scheme of redemption. We can learn how that flows through Scripture. Here's the reason I've put this up here for us. We read, when you get to the end of the book of Exodus, and that's as far as we've got in Soldiers of Christ, Genesis and Exodus. When you get to the end of the book of Exodus, I think Exodus chapter 40 was on one of the Genesis Exodus cards, can't remember which one. What happens in Exodus chapter 40? Tabernacle is erected. You have several chapters in the book of Exodus where instructions are given for the tabernacle. You have several chapters where they are building the tabernacle. Then you get to the last chapter of the book of Exodus, and the tabernacle that God had designed and given instructions for is now erected. So for the books that we have studied so far, we can go from creation in Genesis 1 all the way 90 chapters later to Exodus chapter 40 when the tabernacle was erected. When you look at this time frame, and obviously this is not to scale, otherwise there'd be a big gap over here. We've got 1,600 years in just the first 6 chapters of the Bible. And then you go the rest of Genesis and you cover about another 850 years to get to the book of Exodus. At the end of the book of Exodus, where are God's people? In Egypt. Under what kind of conditions? Favorable conditions or unfavorable conditions? I think I'm hearing both answers. Which is it? What? Allison's right? Okay. What did Allison say? Allison is right. You said favorable? Say again. They were shepherds. Why were they in Egypt to begin with? Because of the famine. So when they went to Egypt to get food, was that good news or bad news for them? Good news, they needed the food. So when did they become slaves? There arose a king in Egypt who knew not Joseph. What happened in the verses right before, or what are we told in the verses right before Exodus chapter 1 and verse 8? That God's people were in the land of Egypt and they were multiplying. So here's these foreigners living in our land. They're multiplying. They're becoming more numerous and more powerful than we are. What are we going to do to them? Make them slaves. We've got to get them under control. All right, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to help me place some of these Bible events from Genesis and Exodus on our timeline. I want us to see where do events, if these are the first five, plus the tabernacle erected, if these are the first five in our outline of the Bible, where do things fit in the Bible? Okay? Somebody who is 10 or under, somebody who is 10 or under, tell me where I should put Adam and Eve on this timeline up here. Where should they go? 10 or under. I know you're just begging to do it, but I didn't say acted like 10 or looks like 10. Somebody who's really 10, where do I put Adam and Eve on the timeline? Oh, you're raising your hand for Josiah. That's a nice friend. Where do I put this?
Next to creation.
All right, next to creation. Is that where Adam and Eve fit? I know that one's easy and that one's obvious, but hey, you got to start off easy. All right, so we got Adam and Eve to begin with. Let me switch over here. Let me find another one. Where do I put... Oh, Chad, let's see. One for Chad. Let me see. Chad, where do I put the Ten Commandments? Where they were given to Moses, where the Ten Commandments were given. Where would I put the Ten Commandments on this timeline of the Bible? Over there. That's a song, I think. Where exactly over there? You want to give me a gap to shoot for? Okay, let me give you a choice. Here, the gap, or here, gap?
Here.
Outstanding. You're going to be a politician one of these days, aren't you? All right. Okay. Is that the right place to put it?
Yes.
Were the Ten Commandments given after the Exodus?
Yes.
Yes. Were they given in Exodus?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. In the book of Exodus, after the Exodus, Ten Commandments were given. Okay. Somebody, let's see, I'm going to choose another teenager here. Me? Well, I'll let you decide if you know the answer. Burning bush. Burning bush. Where does the burning bush go on the Bible timeline? Chad, you've already had a shot, and the here's just not working. Okay, Kristen, Miss CFBC, where does burning bush go? Between the Egyptian bondage, where would you put it? Would you put it closer to this side, or would you put it closer to this side, or would you just put it in the middle because you don't know? Closer to the Exodus. How many of you agree that we should put this closer to the Exodus? How many of you think we should just go in the middle because we don't know? How many of you think we should put it closer to the Egyptian bondage? You all don't have a clue. All right. Where is this talked about? Exodus chapter. Where's the burning bush? Exodus chapter 3. Where's Moses born? Exodus chapter 2. Moses is born in chapter 2, flees to Midian, sees the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. Okay, somebody in their, do we have this many? Somebody in their 20s. There's like five of you. All right, somebody in their 20s, tell me, let's see, I'll go easy on you. Oh, wait, Allison. Oh, I'm going to do one just for Allison, and then I'll get the rest of those who are in their 20s. All right, Allison. All right, I've got it on top anyway. Golden calf, Allison.
How about between Exodus and the
Ten Commandments,
or right after?
Okay, golden calf goes. Do y'all agree with that? The gold. The golden calf comes over here. How much of a gap of time was there between the Ten Commandments being given and the golden calf?
It was happening at the same time.
Like that much.
All right. Yeah. Okay. What chapter do I read about the Ten Commandments? Exodus what?
20.
What chapter do I read about the golden calf? 32. Is that a long time? That's 12 chapters. I mean, anything can happen in 12 chapters. You read the book of Mark and years have passed in 12 chapters. Say what? What, Chuck? Oh, come on, Chuck. You're the star student, Chuck. I need to know what you're saying. Moses was coming down from what mountain? Mount Sinai. With the what? The Ten Commandments. How long had he been up there?
About
what? 40
days.
Yeah. If there's a Bible question asking for a number, just say 40, all right? You're going to be right at least half the time. Okay, so Moses is coming down with the Ten Commandments when he sees the golden calf, which was already in the process. All right, let me back to my 20 people. Somebody in your 20s, where do we put God's promises to Abraham? Where does it go on the timeline? This is... Somebody in your 20s, where would you put God's promises to Abraham? I see a lot of old people pointing. Preachers don't get to participate. Ah, Robert. All right. That's kind of tricky because where are God's promises made to Abraham? Well, they're right there. They start in Genesis 12, they're given in chapter 15, chapter 18, chapter 22. You got God's promises to Abraham. If I had a card, and I don't, that said God's promises to Isaac, where would you put it? Same period. If I had a card that said God's promises to Jacob, where would you put it? Same period, just a little bit further up. Were those promises different?
No.
The exact same three promises were made to all three of those patriarchs. Okay, somebody in your 30s. All right, here we go. Somebody in your 30s. Not if you think you're in your 30s. Not if you think you're 39 again. Enoch, where does Enoch belong? Clayton. You're not, son. In your 30s, live your life again and you will have broken in. But you're not there yet. And you were wrong anyway. Okay. Kevin, where do you put Enoch? Before the flood. I heard somebody disagree with him. How many people agree that you put Enoch before the flood? Aha, see, Kevin, you're right. Okay, what about...
It was Allison. He disagreed.
Uh-oh. Okay, we'll have a moment of prayer in a little bit, but okay. Where do you put Methuselah? Before the flood, same place. All right. Who is the oldest man? I lost my tape. Methuselah, how old was he when he died? Who walked with God?
Enoch.
Who else walked with God? Who else does the Bible say walked with God?
Noah.
So why do we say Enoch walked with God? But he did not die. Correct. All right, Oh, you're kidding me. All right, I'm not going to place these because we're out of time. Where's the first sin go? Right after creation. Where's the sacrifice of Isaac go?
Over there. Patriarchs.
Period of the patriarchs. Where's the Tower of Babel go? Before or after the flood? After the flood. Where does Sodom and Gomorrah go? To go right there? Where do the 10 plagues go? Before or after the Exodus? Before the Exodus. If I want to read about the 10 plagues, it's before. Where do I read about Mount Sinai? At least in this timeline. Here? Trick question. Where was the burning bush? Yeah. See, I tricked you. All right. Where are the Ten Commandments? Where were they given? 7 years of famine. Where does it go? Does it go here? This is the reason that Israel was in Egypt, was because of the famine. Why else were they in Egypt?
Because that's where Joseph was sold.
Joseph brought them down? Did he send a limo for them? What? Probably. Did you learn your memory verses? I know we had at least Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20 as a memory verse. That's a great memory verse, Chad. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about. God, you meant it for evil, Joseph talking to his brothers, but God meant it for good. What did that passage say in Deuteronomy chapter 6? God, for his commands and his statutes, has our good always. They sold their brother into Egypt. The famine comes. They have no food. Who's God looking out for? Every time he's looking out for his people. Where does the Passover go? First time when God passes over the people, where does it go? Which side? This side? Before they exited out of Egypt. You have the Passover. Where's the crossing of the Red Sea go?
After the Exodus.
Does it go here? Sort of? Does it go there? Right afterwards. All right. Signs given to Moses. Sign about the rod. Sign about the hand. Where does it go? After the burning bush. Joseph's dreams. You got that over in Patriarchally. Moses flees to Midian. How many years from right here, if we were to take it from right, if this covers 2,500 years? Let me get through this, would you? If this over here covers 2,500 years, and if I start from here and I go through the book of Exodus, how many years have been covered right there? I'm hearing two answers and they're both wrong. I'm hearing 40 and I'm hearing 120. You're saying 40 because if you want a Bible answer with a number, give 40 and it's almost right. Wrong. Not here. Okay. You're saying 120 because that's how old Moses was when he died. Moses isn't dead yet at the end of Exodus. You've got 80 years about, roughly. The first 40 of Moses' life happened before this. Moses flees to Midian right here. Moses is about 40. Moses sees the burning bush. How old is he when he sees the burning bush? 80. He's an 80-year-old man who leads them across the Red Sea. We don't think about that. All right, here's what I want us to do. One more. Where is it? One more. And I can't find it. Okay, the book of Leviticus. There it is. Where does this go? I know what we're going to say. In a timeline, we're going to say it goes over here, right? We say, well, it's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. It goes over here. Where does this go? Right here. Why does it go here? That's in the book of Exodus. This is the book of Leviticus. It's over here. What is the book of Leviticus? Laws given to the who? Specifically for the Levites, the priests, and their duties. Where were those laws given? They were given at Mount Sinai. Where was the instructions for the tabernacle given? At Mount Sinai. Where did they start making preparations to build the tabernacle? At Mount Sinai. How long were they at Mount Sinai?
A year.
They arrive, Exodus 19, or do they get there at the end of 18? No, they get there in 19. They get there in Exodus chapter 19. They're there all the way through the book of Exodus. They're there all the way through the book of Leviticus, but the book of Leviticus is just the giving of those laws that are in that book. They are there for the first several chapters of the book of Numbers, till God tells them to leave and they leave in about Numbers chapter 12. So they're there, 12 chapters plus 19 or 21 plus the book of Leviticus. They're there. When we read the end of Leviticus, first 12 chapters of Numbers and all of Leviticus, the end of Exodus is what I was saying. They're at Mount Sinai. They haven't left. To me, that helps me to capture how things are happening in the Bible, where things are happening in the Bible, when they're happening in the Bible, that all of this is transpiring all at the same time. Why is Mount Sinai called sometimes the Mountain of God? This is a big reason. The burning bush, the Ten Commandments, the tabernacle, so much of that. Where did the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud first appear? To lead them away from Mount Sinai. I'm way over, and I apologize for that.